A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome in to the series finale. Series finale of That Movie Show on the Radio, presented by Showcase Cinemas. Again, as we mentioned last week, this was supposed to be a big live event that we were going to be holding at Blackstrap Barbecue in Winthrop. But due to, you know, the quarantine life that we're living, it's back to basics, back to just me and Eddie sitting here yucking it up on the radio from our homes with all of you. Mike Wendt, Eddie McCabe. And of course, you can follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe. Eddie's got a brand new TikTok that he's filling with content. So please go follow The
Eddie. I'm really proud of the one that I made on the 25th, I think.
Okay.
Which
one was that?
So basically, there's a bunch of ones that, you know, there's some that are just inspired. You watch the TikTok apps, people kind of doing the same dances and things like that and their own spins on them. And one of them that I absolutely loved was, it was the beginning of the fairy godmother singing Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, but then it like transforms into like this rap song or whatever. And so everybody does it. They're like, you know, in their pajamas or it's early morning or something. And then do the bibbidi bobbidi boo. And then they end up like in a nice outfit of some kind. Sure. And so, you know, I was able to kind of like flex the creative muscles a little bit because like I had to like do a costume change and edit. And one thing that is always funny, and I don't know if any of my other creative friends have this sort of issue, but I can't use like dumbed down basic stuff anymore when it comes to like video editing and like things like that, like basic handy cams and things like that, because I don't have the level of control that I'm used to. Right. And much like my webcam, right? We're streaming live on Facebook, you know, That Movie Show .tv, you know, on Facebook. Yep. And so my webcam, I can't adjust things. Mm-hmm. So like, it automatically, you know, exposes for my windows that are super bright behind me because the sun's out or, you know, something like that. And it's just like, God, I just want to be able to just tell it where to focus.
I know. It once you start getting into, you know, professional video editing and content creating, it is excruciating when you have to do something. Everybody uses TikTok, but it's tough for people like us that are used to doing the high level of video editing and stuff. Even like posting a picture to Instagram, it's like, I know what this is supposed to look like.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Your filters aren't going to work for me today. I need to put this into Photoshop for a few minutes.
Because I have Lightroom on my phone. Which is like Photoshop Lite. It's basically a mobile version of that. And I actually take photos in Lightroom. You have the ability to take a photo in Lightroom, and it's through Adobe. If you have the Adobe Creative Cloud, like the whole suite of stuff, it's included, which is phenomenal because it actually like gets more control of your iPhone camera so you can take better photos, you know, as opposed to just the camera app on the phone.
Sure.
And then Adobe Rush, which is basically like Premiere.
That's a stripped down version of Premiere, right?
It's Premiere Lite. Yeah. So the idea is like, you know, I want this clip, that clip, I can trim it, I can add like, you know, some basic color correction to it and stuff like that. But same deal. And it's just like, yeah, I end up using those more often than I do my like regular camera app.
So while we've been home and we've been quarantined, what have you, let's jump back into movie talk, I guess. What have you been watching?
Yeah, sure.
What have you been occupying your time with?
I've been watching a bunch of nonsense.
Good start.
So Frozen 2 was dropped on Disney Plus, maybe between the last time we did this show and this one. If not, I watched it. And
Next Saturday, I believe they're putting Onward onto Disney Plus as well, the brand new Pixar movie that was just in theaters.
Yeah, so I hadn't seen Frozen 2. I missed it when it was in theater, so I was able to sit down and actually watch that, and that was a ton of fun. I watched the Goofy movie also on Disney Plus. Me and a bunch of friends got together on like a, you know, like a FaceTime app, and we all watched it together, you know, because that's the quarantine life we live in now.
It really is. The funny thing is, I have, you know, I've seen like seen my friends more now than I have when in real life.
Yeah,
because
right.
all these different apps, there's Zoom, there's House Party, just Skype, you know, and yeah. everyone's doing it. You know, at the end of the day, everybody, after they put their kids to bed, I don't have any, but you know, a lot of my friends do. They'll put the kids to bed and you'll be like, all right, you know, let's get a text message and be like, all right, get on Zoom. We're having drinks and you just hang out and, you know, bust chops until however late, until the last person passes out, basically.
Yeah. Right. The last person taps out. It's been weird. It's been a weird, you know, fun kind of time. I mean, as fun as that's going to be, I mean, you know, my birthday was last Wednesday. So it's like, I had to sit at home alone, you know, like you're sitting there and it's like, oh, that's kind of lame, but you know, you got to do what you got to do, you know? Yeah. And it's like, all right, well, airline tickets. Am I praying for the end of April for all this to be done? Because direct flights to Orlando are now $18 round, like each way.
Yeah. Like, I literally got that text this morning. I got a text and they're like, can we like go to Florida in like May? I'm like, I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so. And, you know, you get the screenshot of like the Expedia page. It's like, that's really cheap, but that date is really close to everything else. And I don't know.
Yeah.
And the worst thing would be, you know, purchasing all these tickets and having to go through the refund process with the airlines, because that's just a pain in the ass that nobody wants to go through.
Yeah, right. Well, the thing is it's just like, don't just waive the change fee and I'll go to a different date. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that.
Good.
Yeah, so I've been doing that, and then on a far more like serious note of not Disney Plus related content that I've been watching, I've been watching a bunch of Netflix documentaries. I was watching The Lion King's a very different movie. The Tiger King, the documentary series on Netflix about like privately owned zoos and this guy that tried to hire a hitman to like end up like, you know, murdering this other lady that owned a private tiger zoo. Like, it's bananas.
So I've obviously seen this guy's picture. It's all over social media. Everybody's making memes with this guy, the blonde mullet guy.
Yeah.
And I've seen, you know, on the banner at Netflix where they suggest the newest thing they got going. It's always the Tiger King right now. I looked at it and at face value, I'm like, oh, I bet this is like, you know, some kind of redneck comedy thing. And the way you're describing, like, this is like a serious dog. This is almost misleading. To have such an obscenely goofy picture be your poster for something that really delves into murder?
Yeah. I mean,
a murder plot?
Murder, cults. Like, it's crazy. You know, it's basically about this guy named Joe Exotic. And he's a cult of personality. And basically, he owned this zoo in Oklahoma, and it was like a privately owned zoo. And at one point, right, like you watch this and it spans like a whole long time. And at one point he cared about these tigers, and it was about like kind of saving the tigers a little bit. And then after that, you know, he kind of gets the idea of this persona of being the Tiger King, right? Because he starts promoting videos on YouTube and starts getting a following on the internet, and the ego just becomes so much that he's the star of this show, and it's the Joe Exotic show, and he's the most important thing. And then all while that's going on, there's like a couple of other people that exist in this like tiger zoo world. And it's always really fascinating, these type of Netflix documentaries, because they're like a slice of life. And the way I would describe it is like normal people looking at the Kardashians, and it's like, oh, this is their lifestyle. This is the way they live. And it's very different from the way that I live. Right. And it's the same thing with Joe Exotic and this like redneck Yeah, this like redneck zoo culture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I didn't even know was a subculture of this country.
Yeah, and it's bananas. You know, it's definitely worth checking out on Netflix. And then subsequently, I watched and I just finished Don't F with Cats.
Again, I've seen this. I'll come across Netflix a bunch of times, seen the title, know nothing about it, and again, figured based on the title, oh, this is probably silly.
Yeah, it's not. No, it's not. It's about a man who murdered cats, filmed it, put it on YouTube, and then a group of people on Facebook that basically internet detectived all the way to finding this person. And yeah, this guy went and murdered a person and all this stuff. And there was like an international manhunt. Like, it was crazy. It's 3 episodes, it's an hour each. So, you know,
okay, so I just have to put my personal frustration on what you just said. So he was able to murder animals and put them on YouTube. Yet every video we post, I get copyright claimed on.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
I'm filing disputes daily on our YouTube channel because we're reviewing movies. So if we show a clip of the movie, it auto clips us. But this guy is able to post enough of a channel that he had enough of a following that people actually investigated him. Like, they were left up there.
It's so frustrating because YouTube's algorithm is so nonsensical where, you know, yeah, like we're trying to produce, you know, original content where we talk about movies and, you know, yeah, we used a snippet of this musical score. But then, yeah, Jake Paul is able to go into the suicide forest in Japan and film a dead body. And that's okay.
That's cool because it's news.
You know, it's like, are you for real? Like, it's so frustrating. There's a guy that I follow. His name is Gerard. He runs a channel called The Completionists. It's very fun. It's awesome. It's a great channel. If you like video games, basically once a week, he sits down and completes a game and then reviews the game based on having completed it 100%.
Fun.
You know, and so it's really fun. He's entertaining. You know, he's got a subsequent company that has a bunch of other stuff. But, you know, he's running into stuff that I ran into with the New Age Insiders, where it's just like, yeah, YouTube is just shoving me down because I don't pay to play in the right way. And like, you know, I have, even though I have permission from Nintendo because Nintendo gave me this copy of this game to review, I somehow got a copyright strike because I had footage of this Mario game that they gave me. You know what I mean? It's just like they've taken there's too much computer-ness. Right. In that, whereas,
like, I would have no problem if the actual copyright holder hit dispute, and then we could have a back and forth conversation. Like, look, we're reviewing, and if they still were like, okay, fine, I'll just take that clip out of the video.
Right,
that's fine. But literally, before the video is done uploading, it already pops up. Like, I'm already getting that email. It's like nobody's seen it yet. Nobody's seen the video yet.
Yeah, you know right.
I mean? It hasn't even, like, it's set to premiere in 4 days. Nobody's watched it yet. There's zero views and a copyright claim.
Well, BS. And it's like, you know, hey, you know, we did Escape from New York last week, so I'll use that as the example. It's like,
go ahead.
You know what movie nobody's talking about right now? Escape from New York.
Okay, so and here's the good part, because I did get a copyright claim because we used the trailer at the halfway point. After we're done with the radio show, we start reviewing. Today is going to be Grandma's Boy, and I got a copyright claim on Escape from New York. Hit the dispute button, filled out my normal thing of fair use because it's review and entertainment and critique and blah, 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 blah. And sure enough, the trailer came from Shout Factory's YouTube page. Shout Factory got back and they released the claim and we're all right with the world.
Yeah, right. See,
there are certain studios, Disney's another one, that has no problem. Once you hit the dispute button, it usually knocks back.
Yeah.
Paramount has always had a problem, though.
Yeah,
Paramount's one that has never released a claim. Fox, no problem. Disney, well, now they're in the same bed together. But even before Disney bought them, Fox was never a problem. Disney's never been a problem. Shout Factory never been a problem. Because ultimately, in my opinion, without ever having talked to these people, just filling out a dispute and having them released, my opinion is they get it.
Yeah, well, that was the thing with Star Wars.
Show, and we're not being negative. We've even the movies we don't like, we're not negative about, and we're encouraging people to watch the bad movies. Go watch Battlefield Earth, please. You know, but so it's like I think those companies or whoever is running that part of the company gets it,
right?
And for some reason, Paramount's just got their head right up there.
Yeah, Star Wars was always really good about that, you know, because forever, you know, they let you play in that sandbox. Like, people make original content all the time because, yeah, I would rather you talk about my thing that I didn't have to pay you to make. You made this.
And the other thing is, it's not like we're making money off these things. Right. You know, at the moment, the channel's too small to monetize anyway. Right. By the way, go you know, go to, what is it?
Because
moviesshow.net.
Yeah, this is the last episode. So if you want more of us, if you want more of us, this is, and you're listening on North Shore 104.9, you should go subscribe on Spotify and all those other things, because we're no longer doing this show anymore. It's and true. If you have a problem with that, call the radio station.
There is that as well. But of course, while we have the moment, and because this is the series finale, as I'm dubbing it, just to sound more important about myself, we got to thank Showcase Cinemas because they have supported us for an entire year doing the show. And once movie theaters are back open, we intend to continue our relationship with Showcase Cinemas. And if you go to their website right now, it's showcasecinemas.com. You can get 25% off of gift cards of $40 or more. Movie theaters are going to reopen. You're going to want to go to the movies. People are going to want to get out of the house and go watch movies. So we suggest going, buying Showcase Cinemas gift cards. And when you are able to, again, of course, signing up for Showcase Subscribe. I've also been retweeting. They're doing basically... Just to keep themselves occupied, I guess, Showcase's Twitter page is at Showcase US. And they're basically doing, you know, simple polls. You know, what movie did you like better? David Fincher fans is the one I have in front of me. Fight Club or Social Network? It's as simple as that. You just click and you go on. So,
hey, Showcase, we're bored. How about you let us go live on your Twitter for a little while?
I think that's kind of half the plan anyway. So
I'm just putting it out there.
I know you're just putting it out. You know what? It's good. This is an audio vision board.
Yeah, it's an audio. Well, see, that's how I take this, right? I just put things out into the universe. Mm-hmm.
And they hopefully come back to us. And yes, hopefully once all this the nonsense happening outside in the world is over, we'll get back to normal. We'll get back to Showcase. We'll get back to live shows. Because as I mentioned, this week and the week before were supposed to be live from Blackstrap Barbecue. That will happen.
Supposed to eat super duper spicy wings.
That will happen. I've talked to Kate. I've talked to Chris, the owners of Blackstrap Barbecue. We are going to reschedule because I'm not going to waste this pink ruffly shirt just sitting here in my room. Okay. It is going to come out into the public. We are going to do a 70s newlywed game show. Eddie is going to enter a hot wing contest, win a championship belt, and all is going to be right with the world on that movie show. As far as what's been occupying my time during quarantine life, up until today, I've done strictly comedies. I've been trying extremely hard to just occupy myself with laughs, which I felt was probably a smart move. And not even necessarily movies I haven't seen before. Out of the list of movies that I have, I only hadn't seen one of them. And there's quite a few. Let's see. Also, a lot of stand-up. I've been going through Bill Burr's stand-up on Netflix. Bill Burr, Anthony Jeselnik is another one I've been going through.
I love him.
Anthony Jeselnik is wonderful.
Shark Party is such a funny comedy bit. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. And if you don't know what that is,
Google it. Yeah, Google it. Comedy Central, I believe, has tried to scrub it off the internet, but definitely go and check out his comedy specials on Netflix as well. Some of the movies that I ran down, of course, Black Dynamite, which we covered in the archives.
I also, because I couldn't fall asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning because time means nothing anymore, I watched Triple Threat with Michael Jai White.
You sent me a text about that because you want to do that this week, but it looked a bit more serious than I was ready to commit to. Tell me a little bit about it.
I mean, it's a goofy martial arts movie, so you know.
Okay, so Netflix didn't describe it well. It's shocking.
Yeah, no. So Michael Jai White is a part of a like mercenary team, and he hires Tony Jaa and another gentleman to go in and like find this MI6 black site because their like comrade is being held captive, and then they basically double cross the Filipino Asian gentleman. And they murder the entire village. So basically these three men have to protect a Chinese like a Chinese heiress who's like trying to help things in the Philippines and also like get revenge on these mercenaries at the same time. And there is kung fu treachery and
we know how much Eddie loves him some kung fu treachery.
There was kung fu treachery. There was a ton of revenge that needed to be served. Oh, it was beautiful. There was like a slight nod to like John Wick kinda in there, not related at all to that universe, but like it felt
they're
like
not sharing the universe, but they're trying to kind of poke at them, be like, hey, can we join you guys?
Yeah, they were like, hey, we could play. And it was just play. You know,
So you sold me. Okay, so here's the other thing. You know, Netflix needs to now hire Eddie to describe their movies because way better, and I'm way more interested now than what the hell you put on your description, Netflix. So hire Eddie. He needs some work right now.
I definitely need work right now.
At the Eddie McCabe on Twitter and TikTok.
Yeah, this is my last job. After
this is our last official payday, I guess.
I don't actually have, like, I was looking forward to this all week because this is the last time I get paid for something,
right? I did Black Dynamite. I've also been trying to when I post them on Facebook and whatnot, let people know how they can watch as well, especially if it's on a free service like Black Dynamite. You can stream for free on Crackle. I watched.
And if you should have it on DVD like I do.
Oh, but I have it on Blu-ray, but my Blu-rays are all in storage, and it's a whole thing that's been.
Yeah, talking about you. I'm talking about the people.
People should go buy it. Absolutely, yeah,
everybody needs to go buy Black Dynamite.
But you know what? You know, I think Amazon is halting non-essential. Even though Black Dynamite is an essential part of our viewing experience, going out to stores right now is not recommended. So until that day comes, you can pre-order it on Amazon. Wait for it to come. You can watch it for free on Crackle. A couple I watched on HBO because I canceled that because, you know, no money coming in. Gonna have to start cutting the luxuries. So I got HBO till the end of the month. So I watched Gross Point Blank, A Fish Called Wanda, and Grandma's Boy, which we're going to be covering on the back half of this on Facebook.com/ThatMovieShowTV. Another one on HBO I watched that I have been procrastinating for a long time for no good reason at all. I saw the trailer in theaters. I'm like, that looks funny and dumb. And then never got around to it. And then I saw it pop on HBO, and I'm like, that looks funny and dumb, and then never got around to it. And then the other day, I'm sitting there having breakfast. I'm like, why the hell not? Long Shot, starring Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron. She's the Secretary of State, going to run to be the first female president. He grew up with her. She was his babysitter as a kid. And now he's like this, you know, rebel journalist that, you know, writes stories about the man. And they meet at a Boys to Men party. Weird. But O'Shea Jackson Jr. is in it, who is a gem. This kid has a fantastic career ahead of him. Ice Cube's kid.
He was so good
in Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
And he's fantastic in this. Hilarious. The movie is a lot funnier than I ever expected it to be. It definitely, especially in this quarantine viewing life that we're living, if you have access to HBO, I would highly suggest Long Shot. It's a funny, just under 2-hour run.
When you said Long Shot, I thought you meant the actual movie with Ice Cube. Ice Cube. With Ice Cube about how he teaches his daughter to play football.
Deep cuts. I don't know that one.
Yeah, I'll send you the trailer. Basically, it's about him and how he has his daughter wants to play like football. And
that sounds like something that Rock the Dwayne Johnson would have done early in his career.
Yeah, it feels like that. That also might not be the name, but it feels like the one.
Might just be blowing smoke at this point. And today, I broke the comedy tradition because, again, I was just scrolling through Tubi, which, again, is a free streaming service, TUBI. And I saw these two literally next to each other. And I'm like, oh, that's a fantastic double feature. So I watched King of New York with Christopher Walken and New Jack City, of course, with Wesley Snipes and many others. Fun fact, Wesley Snipes was in both of them. So weird Wesley Snipes double feature I had today. The night I watched Grandma's Boy, I had actually just watched 21 Jump Street before that with Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. And I completely forgot that in Grandma's Boy, Jonah Hill is basically an extra in it.
Yes, he is. He's a featured extra.
A featured extra. He has limited speaking parts, and he suckles on a woman.
Yeah, he does.
because we're still on radio for 5 minutes.
Yes.
But we are going to be covering Grandma's Boy on the Facebook side of things. So as soon as this ends, if you're listening on the radio, jump over to Facebook, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv, while we dive into Grandma's Boy, which basically the best way to describe it, it's from 2006. It's all of Adam Sandler's friends in a movie.
Yeah.
Without Adam Sandler.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's basically like he Adam Sandler was probably off in Hawaii with Drew Barrymore or Jennifer Aniston. His buddies didn't get to go. So like, hey, why don't you kick us a couple million bucks and we'll go make this other movie, you know, this stoner comedy. And yeah. I this is the best Adam Sandler movie that's been around for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
My opinion.
I don't know. I don't
My
know.
Opinion. Come on. Look. I know you watched it in a mood. Let's thanks. We got 5 minutes left.
Sure.
So let's thank Showcase Cinemas one last time for a fantastic year of support. We really appreciate them sponsoring that movie show. And again, once movie theaters open up, we plan to continue our relationship with Showcase Cinemas and Showcase Subscribe with a whole bunch of new content coming exclusively to Showcase Cinemas. So please go to their website, showcasecinemas.com, get gift cards. If you spend $40 or more on gift cards, you get 25% off. And when Showcase Subscribe is available to sign up for again, please sign up for it because it literally is the best way to get movie tickets. Okay, Grandma's Boy. We got just under 5 minutes. So, initial reactions, Eddie.
So I find it is very much of its time. It's definitely in that like new American Pie, New Kid sort of like vibe and sensibility. There were a lot of things that.
So you're saying it has the right stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
But there was a lot of stuff in that movie that I was like, oh, that didn't age well. Like, there was a lot of gay bashing. There was a lot of like blatant sexual harassment.
Sure.
You know, and it was just like, that didn't age well. And
it was a different time.
It was definitely a different 14 time.
14 years ago.
Yeah, it was four. I mean, yeah. And I think that 14 years ago, you know, as a junior in high school. Yeah, that was for you, Mike. As a junior in high school, I would have loved that movie. But, you know, I'm a little older. My comedy sensibilities have definitely changed. Yeah. And I just definitely don't enjoy those type of movies.
Ugh, you are so disappointing right now.
I know.
Let's be honest. You watched it when you were in a mood and not high.
Yeah. Absolutely.
See, I know when I text you, I was excited because you had never seen it. I probably should have said, hey, by the way, get high first. You'll love it.
Yeah, you probably should have. You probably should. I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more.
I think you would have because I've enjoyed it many a time. So Grandma's Boy. Yeah, I mean, I definitely enjoy it more than you then. So I think this is going to be one of those ones where we're going back and forth on the likes versus dislikes. It's kind of like... I mean, yeah, you referenced American Pie. I guess this is what it would be like if, like, American Pie grew up.
Yeah.
And got jobs.
The part that I find to be maybe the most frustrating about it is I liked the world that they built, right? Like, I would watch this and I would be far more into it if all of these characters were in a TV show.
So what you're saying is Netflix, since they're giving Adam Sandler so much money, needs to jump on the Grandma Boy train and give him a 10-episode season on Netflix.
Yes, I think you're 100% right.
I mean, I would love to just see a spinoff series of the Dante character with all his exotic animals and friends.
Yeah, I mean, that part was very funny. Dante is very, very funny.
Yes.
But it's just like, yeah, I think that it relies too much on the sexual humor. It relies a little too much on the sexual humor so that when there are genuinely funny moments, they're kind of lost.
Okay. So we will deep dive into Eddie's opinions and my opinions on Grandma's Boy. On the Facebook page, again, it's facebook.com/ That Movie Show TV. You can subscribe to That Movie Show's podcast because we not only do these every week, we're going to continue to do these every week. We do movie reviews. They are on any and all podcasting apps. You can find links to them on thatmovieshow.net as well as our archives. We do video versions of this not only on Facebook, also on YouTube. Help us grow so we can start combating more of these copyright claims, I guess.
Yeah.
Because apparently the bigger you get, the more you can get away with. Because I see channels that are strictly all videos, you know, that are all copyright material. Somehow they get away with it. We're going to need to hire a lawyer, basically, is what's happening. They would help in our little dispute that we've had in the last month.
That's the thing, is that once you reach, like, partnership status, like, they combat them for you or something. It's, like, a weird...
Love it. Looking forward to having a lawyer on staff here at That Movie Show. Thank you for joining us on the series finale here on the radio. And thanks to Showcase Cinemas for a great year of sponsorship. Jump over to the Facebook page right now, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. Mike Wendt, Eddie McCabe. Follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe. Eddie, any final words for the radio audience? We got 5 seconds.
Yeah, thank you to Showcase Cinemas. You guys have been great. And bye, everybody.
You got skills.
If you think video games fry your mind,
game over,
and make you stupid,
your bed is a car.
Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
You're lost.
What is that ringing? Do I have a tumor?
Now, for this ultimate gamer.
Who wants a shot at the champ?
Who's going down?
Desperate times.
Josh has been spending our rent money on Filipino hookers.
You're a hooker!
I got evicted.
Timmy, any chance I can crash on your couch tonight?
Shut up.
Call for Desperate Measures.
This really cute chick said that I could sleep with her and her two crazy girlfriends.
You remember my grandson, Alex?
How old are you now?
36.
You have a girlfriend?
No.
My grandson's gay, too. I'll give you his number.
Why are you so tired?
Because I was with three chicks last night.
Don't tell me your roommates did that to you.
They're crazy. They tied me up.
That is legendary.
You looking for Alex?
We're his roommates.
You're the reason Alex has been tired all week?
We ride him pretty hard.
Oh, that is so gnarly.
Now.
I was putting up my Christmas tree.
Dude, it's July. And, why are you naked?
Oh, my God. I am naked. Come on in.
From Level One Entertainment comes a comedy that proves...
Don't judge me, monkey.
You're never too old.
This tea has quite a kick.
To come of age.
I can hear my hair growing.
Hey, Sophie didn't die in the bed, did she?
No.
Good. No.
She fell out of bed and died right here.
Grandma's boy.
Oh, I died on the floor, and nobody helped me.
I swear to God, I would have helped you, Sophie. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I would have helped you. I just wasn't here.
Gotcha!
Oh, my God!
Who's kitty cat?
Scooby Valley, Hooby Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic.
And welcome back to That Movie Show. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe. Follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe. Hashtag That Movie Show. And
that
today,
unemployed show.
That unemployed show. Yeah, we are officially off the clock. We are literally just doing this for all of you. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So today we're covering the 2006 film Grandma's Boy, aka all of Adam Sandler's friends got together and took his money for a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do the business. It was released January 6, 2006, had a budget of $5 million, made $6.6 million at the box office, however, made over $50 million in DVD sales. We know where the stoners are watching this. And it was, let's see, written by Alan Covert, Nick Swartzen, Barry Wernick. It was directed by Nicholas Goosen. Yeah, Goosen, I'm going with.
Okay.
It stars Alan Covert, Nick Swartzen, Doris Roberts, Shirley Jones, Shirley Knight, Linda Cardellini, Peter Dante, Kevin Nealon. We mentioned earlier, Jonah Hill is a featured extra in it. A bunch of people. It's basically all the like distant side characters from Adam Sandler movies are leads in this.
And Kevin Nash.
and Kevin Nash. Yes, in the Rob Snyder scene.
Yeah, in the Rob
Speaking
Snyder
of Sandler scene. Friends.
Yeah, straight up the top. We got a two sweet big sexy reference.
We did. With his, he still had his bleach blonde crew cut going.
Oh, it was great. It was beautiful.
That was a fun scene, though.
Like, it was.
They started off very well. They started out strong with that scene.
Yeah, I thought it was really good getting the evicted scene. They're playing Xbox. I think it's pretty fun. Yeah, I think this movie...
It smells like a Cypress Hill concert in here. I don't rent to you people.
Yeah, right.
And his friend who spent all the last 5 months of rent money on Chinese whores.
Yeah.
God. They're massage therapists. God, I love it. Kevin Nash in the background. Yeah, they massage your cock. Yeah.
God, and so that, yeah, it really sets the tone for the movie. It really sets the tone for the movie.
He breaks the bong. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that expensive piece?
Yeah.
Like it's just funny shit in this movie.
Yeah, Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider's always a delight. I always like him. He's never good as the bride, but fantastic as a bridesmaid.
I feel very much the same way of him as I do Jack Black.
Yeah.
I don't mind them when they're like second or third, you know, or even in a role, which is one scene in this situation. But give them the lead and, you know, make them carry a movie. No, I'm all out.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. A person that I wish did more things because I find him to be delightful is Nick Swartzen.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love him. You know, I'm surprised that we didn't get more of him after this. Because he never really kind of took off. Like he had a very good Comedy Central Presents special. Yep. And basically there's a huge bit about video games in that. That's kind of, I guess, the impetus for this movie. And then, yeah, he was in Reno 911 as like a bit player.
Yeah, he was a recurring character on that.
Yeah, and then that was it.
Like, I mean, he's a Sandler friend, so he's popped up in pretty much all the Sandler movies, at least the B movies, if you will.
Yeah.
And you know, so he's the definition of supporting character.
Yeah.
Again, much like, you know, Rob Schneider or a Jack Black type of thing, because what was that movie he did where he was like a man child, but he had a huge dong and he was like a porn star or something.
Wasn't
like that.
Dickie Roberts?
Was that him or Spade?
Spade.
They both basically did the god. Oh, there it is. Bucky Larson.
Oh, Bucky Larson.
Bucky Larson. So Bucky Larson was Nick Swartzen, who was, like I said, let me just read it. A kid from the Midwest moves out to Hollywood in order to follow his parents' footsteps and become a porn star.
Oh,
Bucky Larson, born to be a star. Dickie Roberts was basically David Spade doing child actor movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically doing the Corey Feldman story.
Oh, man. What a movie that was.
Not The Rape of Two Corys, but Dickie Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
The Rape of 2 Hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't. I don't know which was worse, watching that movie or having to watch it on like a horizontal, like weird.
Oh, the
format.
Documentary.
Yeah, the documentary.
Yeah, that was shit. The funny thing is, if we didn't have to talk about it on the radio, we could have waited a day and just watched, because by that point everyone had uploaded it up like right
properly. Yeah, probably.
But you know, we had to watch it horizontally, all fucked up for you, the people.
Yeah, for you, the people, and the radio show.
Yeah, which is all over.
Over.
Over. It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Yeah. God.
So let's jump into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So after they get evicted, Alan Covert's character Alex goes to Dante's house. That's the first stop, looking for a place to crash. Right. And we're met with Dante and his tan ass.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, I mean, Dante is always funny. I mean, my favorite role has to be the quarterback from Waterboy. Yep. That has to be my favorite role of his. But the funniest trivia fact about this is how he was legitimately stoned off his ass the whole time, because they came in and were telling him that, like, hey, you have to, like, here's like movie weed and it'll like smoke and you can look at it and it looks great on camera. And he was like, no, I'll just really smoke weed. And he got so high he couldn't function.
There was I just watched, it's what's the group that does a lot of the deep fake stuff? Corridor Crew or something like that on YouTube?
Corridor Digital.
Corridor Digital. They did Snoop Dogg's latest video or his new video or something like that, where they inserted Tupac into it.
Okay.
And they were on set with Snoop, and one of the ADs on the music video talked to the camera. He's like, by the way, don't smoke weed. You think it's okay because Snoop's getting high all day. But the last video, everyone thought it was okay. Everyone smoked weed. We couldn't function. It sucks to try to work high.
Yeah. Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. But yeah, that's a fun tidbit from this movie about how he got so high he couldn't function.
I absolutely believe it. Because why wouldn't you try? There's been a number of stories like that where people, you know, the Evil Dead one's a classic example where they were sitting around and in the scene they were getting high and they did one night where they actually all got high and again couldn't function.
Yeah.
People think because you can get high with your friends and have a good laugh, but all of a sudden you need to remember lines and do takes and blocking and shit. And it's like, I just want to lay here and just talk forever.
Yeah, right. You got it. You need to be precise and have precision with stuff. And it's just like, no, all I want is egos.
Imagine you're a focus puller high.
Oh, that'd be the worst. Cause that's where paranoia would set in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. You'd be trying so hard to, and then you just like he hasn't moved it in 20 minutes.
Yeah, right. I said action 4 hours ago.
I think he's dead.
He might be dead. Yeah, so Alex goes over there trying to crash, and basically he can't because what's this one's reasoning?
He's getting crash here, man. The lion's coming.
Yeah, that's right. He's getting a lion.
And he gets all pissed off and jumpy, and dude, you can't be that way around the lion.
Yeah.
Because Dante's getting a lion shipped in from Africa. And when asked, well, why don't you just get a dog? He's like, dude, you can get away from a dog. Nobody fucks with a lion.
Yeah, right. Because he doesn't want people to like steal his weed or anything. So he needs it for security purposes. The funniest part is when he decides that he wants to have the monkey and has to teach the monkey karate.
Monkey's got his black belt already. I got a red belt. Monkey's fucking smart, dude.
Yeah.
And you just hear ass whipping going on upstairs.
Oh, God,
the trainer like pumps himself up to go chase the monkey around.
Yeah. Well, it's also so funny because like I wish there was more of the monkey fight.
Oh, I would like a whole side Netflix series on just Dante and his entire world. Him, Dr. Mambo, the martial arts teacher, monkey. We never even got to see the lion. Like,
no,
there was a whole side news story happening because the lion got loose in suburbia.
Yeah, and he had to pretend that it wasn't his. Like,
I don't know who the fuck would have a lion, man. That's fucked up.
Yeah. It's so funny. That part is by far the funniest part of it. You know, he looks at him when Alex loses his job at the end of the movie. And he just looks at it. It's just like, I need you to roll all of it together. She's like, no one's ever done that before, but I'll try for more.
Who's been with you?
Yeah. Oh, God. Then they let the monkey drive.
In one of those classic, like old, like, what was the Clint Eastwood movies with the monkey? Created it in Cannonball Run 2, where it's a terrible blue screen and a monkey driving a steering wheel.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely take a whole series of Dante.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
So Alex has to take off again because he can't be there when the lion,
obviously,
be there when the lion shows up. So he's got to leave.
So he heads over to Nick Swartzen's house. Nick played Jeff in this movie, who lives with his roommates, a.k.a. his parents, and sleeps in a car bed that a toddler
roommate
going to get him spinner wheels.
He's going to get him rims.
Yeah.
And he tells Alex, he's like, oh, yeah, you can sleep with the Aerobed, which is just a pool toy.
Yeah, it's just a like a penguin or something.
It's a floaty pool toy.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, and it's no surprise that there was a shitload of ad-libbing going on in this movie, just based off the people you're involved with. But in this actual scene, and it made the cut where Alan Covert tells Nick Swardson to shut up, it was basically him saying, stop ad-libbing about your fucking car.
Yeah.
Because they want to move the scene along. And Nick Swardson just wouldn't stop. And he's like, all right, shut up. Moving on.
Yeah, right.
This is also where we find his love interest, Laura Croft.
Yes. Yeah.
His love interest for a night. His little tryst that gets him in trouble because, well, Jeff's mom walks in while Alex is jacking off in the bathroom and he comes on his mom. I can't stop. It feels so good.
That's the most, it's so insane. And I just remember looking at that part of the movie and I'm like, oh, it's this type of movie.
Oh, this is why Mike likes it.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is going to be. It's gonna be this movie,
yeah.
You know, and this is partly why where I'm just like, I don't like it, mostly because it's like well-placed humor like that is, when done right, very, very effective and very, very funny. Mm. But just because you have an R rating doesn't mean you should go bananas.
Well, see, I didn't even think this was like, I thought this was a well, because it wasn't like they something about married it. They didn't show any spunk.
No, and I'm not even not necessarily.
I thought this
about.
Was as tasteful of coming on a mother as you can get.
Yeah, see, I'm not even talking about that. It's like, it's that, and then just how much they talk about it and just continuously say, come on my mom. And it's just like, God, rule of three, yeah, guys.
If you got a running gag where a guy, your friend comes on your mom, yeah, I mean, you're going to tell me. That was a way to start because they leave in the office. And he's like, how many people? Because he asked some kid riding off on a bike. He's like, hey, man, can I crash you out? He's like, no, I don't want you to come on my mom. And he's like, how many people did you tell? And he's like, 13? I didn't know it was a big secret.
The problem is that the running gag, yeah, it's not as funny, you know, like that, like it doesn't have the staying power that I think that, you know, a bunch of stoned out idiots writing a script would have, or the rule of three where it didn't punch. Mm-hmm. It didn't, you know, like it wasn't a big punch two times. Right. You know what I mean? Like if you held off, like the initial thing happens. He tells all the coworkers, oh, how many people did you tell? 18 people. I didn't think it was a big secret. And then the grandmother references it like at the end. Like, does you know she? What I mean? No. But if she.
Oh, if she did.
If she did.
Yeah.
That would have hit a lot harder than for like 15 minutes. We were referencing that he came on her mom. And it's just like, okay, move on. Move the. Like,
but again, this is also a movie written by Adam Sandler's friends, not Adam Sandler.
Yeah, no, I know.
Maybe he would have punched out at three.
He's far better of a comedy writer than Nick Swardson is. You know, there's a reason why he gets $1 billion from Netflix and Nick Swardson is in the movie sometimes, you know. So there is that. But yeah, it was just like, you know, that and then. Yeah. You know, again, like I said, just because you have the R rating doesn't mean you need to use it. You know, you're like, you don't need to go balls to the wall the entire time.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Agree to disagree. I think in this situation, I agree with you in certain situations. I think this was a movie intent on that. And it's definitely in my opinion, not even close to the hardest of movies that have taken advantage of an R rating.
Oh, no. Definitely...
I mean, as great of a movie as it was, I would point at something like Logan and all the fucks they threw in there and be like, that's way more egregious than any of the cum references in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, and it's not just the cum references. It's not just that. It's just like, you know, there's a lot of stuff where, you know, like I said, I think if we toned down the Sekhmer in this movie, like 15%.
You glitch.
It would have. Oh, if we, you know, basically if we tone down the sexual humor of this, like the gratuitous sexual humor, like 15%, I think that I would have enjoyed this movie a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, but again, that was kind of the crutch of this movie because, because these guys are supposed to be guys who don't get laid. So, of course, they're going to talk about getting laid as much as they can. And then in Alex's case, he's going to pretend like he's getting laid all the time. You know, like the whole running gag of, oh, I'm staying with three crazy chicks and they keep me up all night.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's what you would expect people in their position to do in real life, even. You know, it's like these guys haven't, you know, seen a woman in real life, you know, in that way. Ever.
Right.
You know, I mean?
I kind of
when they're at the party and Jonah Hill, I don't even know where the stripper came from. I'm guessing it was the bikers, but all of a sudden, you know, look, we got like, this is a situation where we got the R rating. We needed somebody to take their tits out. You know what I mean? And Jonah Hill just sucked on tits for like a day and a half.
Well, and that house party sequence, right? The like everything from like, oh, we're going out to celebrate all the way to like basically when Alex gets fired. That stuff was really good. That stuff was very, very well done. I just want to, it's basically like the first act of this movie, I guess, is the stuff I have the biggest problem with because I look at something like Superbad. Mm-hmm. I look at something like Superbad that deals with a lot of the same subject matter. Definitely in terms of like
the talking about sex but not getting sex matter, it definitely is the same. Yeah,
you know, and I think that Superbad handles it much better and in a funnier context than
and again,
this movie did.
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, Adam Sandler's friends.
Yeah, right. Oh no, yeah, 100%. I guess, you know, maybe the other part too is that I'm looking at this movie and for forever, like I didn't see this in theaters. I just missed it. And everybody was telling me I didn't see it. Yes, I didn't see it till this week. So it's been a long time. And everybody's telling me, oh, Grandma's Boy, so funny. It's so funny. It's so funny. It's so funny.
How many of your friends who say that smoke weed?
Oh, all of them.
There you go. There you go. We said it right at the top. You needed to be at least a little high. You know,
so here's the deal. Here's the deal. I guess we're going to have to do this because we're going to have to launch a Patreon somehow because we're not getting paid by a radio station anymore. So I'll get blazed and I'll just watch all of these stoner movies and we'll re-review them.
I mean, you know, you have the film Historians as like a thing. So I think this will be a perfect example of needing to launch that side project.
Yeah, the film Historians, where the thing is it's just I'm going to get fucking high as hell and try and talk about a movie.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Fuck it. Fuck it, man.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Okay, so where the hell are we? Oh, so this is the other thing. I think it's the blonde hair that always throws me. I always forget it's Linda Cardellini.
Yeah.
100% of the time. I even this time watching it, as soon as I pulled up the IMDb to talk about it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Linda Cardellini. Holy shit. Like, I don't think I've ever seen her outside of this with blonde hair.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Shocking. And I love Linda Cardellini. Okay. So he ends up at his grandmother's house because there's a wedding scene where she offers and he takes her up on it. He goes to the grandma's house. They put her in the old dead roommate's room. Apparently, grandma has a sense of humor because she scares the shit out of him in the middle of the night.
The grandmother is a gem.
Doris Roberts? Yeah.
Yeah, she's delightful.
Doris Roberts and Shirley Jones. Shirley Jones is like the, Blanche of Golden Girls. Yeah. She's just, they even say it. It's like, you're just an old whore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like her claim to fame is she gave Charlie Chaplin a hand job. And a great response to telling that story, the friend, I think it was Jonah Hill, that says, did she invent the hand job? Yeah. Good question. No, but she did invent ass play.
It's very funny. It's very funny. It was done very well. Like I said, like, I think it's just the first act of this movie that I don't enjoy because everything with the roommates is really fun because it's both very, very wholesome in Golden Girls and also very dirty. And I like both of it. The dichotomy is very fun.
they get high and watch Antique Roadshow for 2 days.
Yeah, it's so funny. Also, the fact that he, like, we'll talk about the conflict of this movie and how nonsense it is. But the
haven't even mentioned their job yet. They're video game testers.
Yes, they're video game testers, and they work for a company where the head lead designer is like this prodigy, and he it's the third sequel to a game that he developed when he was 14, and he also is developing another game while this one is being developed.
Well, he claims he is.
Yeah, he claims he is.
We find out later that he's really not. That he's been just claiming to, because we're on Eternal Death Slayer 3.
Right.
Is the video game that they're testing. I mean, it's basically like a fictitious, the company is like kind of like Wizard almost, or not Wizard, but whoever makes World of Warcraft, like their logo kind of looked that way. It looks very Doomish, the game.
Yeah.
First person shooter, beat 'em up type of game, but with monsters instead of people, I guess. Right. I don't really know. It's your basic, violent video game.
Yeah, of course.
Which is hilarious because this kid's walking around calling himself a genius and a prodigy, and it's like, dude, it's Doom.
It's Doom. It's Wolfenstein.
Does Doom not exist in this universe? Because that's Doom, dude.
Yeah, right. Like, it's a first-person shooter. Who cares?
Right.
It's a dime a dozen. There's gonna be four called
third. So calm the fuck down there.
Yeah. But so he like teaches his grandmother how to play his game.
Alex.
Yeah, Alex teaches his grandmother to play his game that he's been working on for 3 years. Yeah. It was like, I guess we needed to have a conflict in this movie at some point. And it's just that, like, one of those things where it's just like, what? Did anybody even think about this? He hands the dude a disc, and then, like, how do you code off of a disc? I don't think you know how video games work.
This is like we talked last week on our Escape from New York episode about how they neutralize a bomb with X-rays. Yeah. It's like, look, it was 2006. People, social media was barely a thing. I think we might have had MySpace at this point. And it was like, yeah, nobody's going to give a shit. Give them a disc. We don't have time to explain to the audience how coding works.
Yeah.
Most aren't going to get it.
Well, the thing is he had a computer, and it's just like he should have stolen the computer. I guess he needed the, like, oh, he's my friend sort of moment.
Well, I don't even think I don't completely understand that part of it, because this is just breaking it down into realistic technical terms, because he handed him a disc, and my assumption would be that he was handing JP the disc to go and play the disc and then give him notes, and JP just brought the disc into the office and said, fuck you. I'm guessing he was actually coding on the computer.
Right.
But that also won't explain why he didn't just say, well, here's my fucking computer.
Yeah, right. Because basically.
But that would also make way too much sense. Oh, and that would make the whole end sequence fall apart.
Yes. The whole end of this movie doesn't make any logical sense if you put in any reality to it.
If you think about it.
Yeah. Because it's just like, when you're a video game tester, you're handed a disc, like they've completed the game or they've completed a version of the game, and they're giving it to you to play on a console so that, like, if you're on level 15, this weird thing happens all the time and we need to fix that before we widely release it. Right. That's what, because like the game testers, like in reality, are trying to break the game. They're trying to, make sure that you can't walk through walls when you're not supposed to, or like if all of a sudden you just fall through the floor, or a window that you're supposed to like jump through doesn't break, stuff like that, computer stuff. But it's just, it's not on
nerds.
It's just not on the disc. And so
it's not like you could buy an Xbox game and put it into your computer and start recoding the game. I don't believe so anyway. And I'm not smart enough to figure it out if you can.
Yeah. But again, you wouldn't be able to, like, it's not saved to that disc and you're just like working on it. But yeah, it definitely falls apart where he's just like, oh, I don't have any more copies of this.
Yeah. But that's just adding logic to a stoner comedy.
I know.
But that's what we do here on That Movie Show.
Yeah, Right. But it does end up being, it ends up leading to a very funny, just like the only person that can save the day is his grandmother, who's been play, who's the only other person that's played the game.
And she's really good at it, by the way.
Yeah. The other part really too good. The other part too that's really funny that also doesn't make any sense, where it's Alex stands up and is like, "Hey, this is my game," and he's like, "No, it's not. It's mine. You're lying. I'm the, you know, the prodigy or whatever." And right. then it's just like, "Well, I'll play you to prove it." And it's just like, "Is that how we're gonna? Is that that's how we're gonna prove that you?"
I mean, in the world of stoner comedies based around video games, that is your shootout at the OK Corral.
Yeah, they're just gonna
bitch. We're having a gunfight. That's you. You challenge me to a duel. High noon, motherfucker.
That has to be it. That has to be it, because that was
basically
just like,
it.
And then his logic is he stole the game and was going to be better at it than me, because he's just like, how did he steal it if you're presenting it now?
I think we can all agree the ending is very flawed.
Oh, yeah.
In its logical sense, but they needed an ending. Yeah. It feels very much like, what are we going to do? How are we going to wrap this up? Because we can't just end with Jonah Hill sucking on a tit. That can't be the ending of the movie. You know what I mean?
It feels like it.
Yeah. So Kevin Nealon is the boss, by the way. And he is Mr. Cheezel.
Yeah.
Fucking, they were so high when they wrote this shit. And he is, you know, very zen, spiritual, making tea, doing yoga, centering his chi. And it gets us to a very funny scene where he, to celebrate what's going to be the release of the game, he makes reservations at his favorite restaurant, which is a vegan restaurant. And we have a little bit of a sequence with the waiter Shiloh, of course, played by David Spade, which I thoroughly enjoyed them just ripping apart vegan food.
Oh yeah, of course.
And Shiloh sitting there just trying to be all nice. Well, you got to give it a chance. It's actually really good. And ba 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 and ba 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 ba, and then losing his ever loving shit.
Right.
And like, can we pay extra for more meat and grease?
Yeah. Right. David Spade again, much like Rob Schneider, you're very fun when you pop in. Like, I wish that you would do this in other movies more often. Spade is a great side piece. Also, not a bad late night host. He's got that show on Comedy Central, and it's not bad.
To watch it. Is it good?
It's not bad. I mean, there are far better late night shows.
Sure.
But, you know, also just weird shout out. Hey, Jimmy Fallon. Great job, bud. You know, like, I don't need. He's been doing the shows from home.
Him, so I haven't been paying attention. Although I did see one thing, I don't know how recent it was, but it got sent to me in a private message where his team edited the fucking newscaster. I don't know. Basically, he edited the Brian Williams. He edited Brian Williams to a point where he literally sings Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang.
Amazing. And
I'll text it to you when we're done. It is I sent it to somebody else. I'm like, look, I fucking hate Jimmy Fallon, but goddamn, this is wonderful.
Oh, see, I really enjoy Jimmy Fallon. I really like the late show concept, or like, you know, late night talk show concepts, obviously. But the fact that he's the only one, like, you know, Colbert is just doing repeats. You know, everybody's just doing repeats, but he's actually doing the show from his house, and like his wife is filming. And so, like, I'm pretty sure they do it, like, you know, at 1 p.m.
Well, they film in the day anyway.
Yeah, right, yeah, because it's live to tape, not live.
Right, right.
But it's been great. They've had...
So how are they handling guests? Are they Skyping in?
They're Skyping in. And so, like, John Legend was on last night.
You were ahead of this shit.
That's what we do. I know. So they had John Legend
on board now.
Yeah, they have John Legend on, and John Legend comes on supporting some sort of charity that's helping somebody during this, you know, quarantine, or, you know, people that are affected. And it's just, you know, making lemonade out of lemons, you know. Sure. It's a great concept, you know, and I really admire him doing that.
Sure. It's
But you know. Taxi Driver was a terrible movie. Not that one. The one that he was in with Queen Latifah.
Yeah, that was just Taxi, but yes, he's awful. Fuck him. I'm sorry. He is. I don't like him as a host either. So that we're going to have to agree to disagree on. I am not a fan. But that Rapper's Delight thing was wonderful. So bravo to his editing team. Because holy shit, to skim through all that news footage to literally make it sound like they're just rapping to the beat.
Yeah, amazing. That's amazing.
It was really good. So where the hell are we? We're jumping all over the place.
Yeah.
I think we're just kind of this movie. It's a stoner movie, so that nothing.
It's a stoner
really...
movie. It's not like we have to deep dive into the plot or anything. And I think we've covered the major bases of this movie. I guess I would say it's at least get high first.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to re-review this then.
So if you're interested in us doing stuff like that on a Patreon, by all means, tweet at us at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag that movie show. Hashtag film historians
At film historians. It's got social media stuff.
Twitter page. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Look at this. We are almost getting professional.
There is an email. So you can email filmhistorians at gmail.com.
I'm learning all of this right now. Live.
I know. I got bored at a job that I don't have anymore once. And I just got all of that nonsense.
Very good. All right. So if you want to, is that Grandma's Boy?
That's Grandma's Boy.
All right, that's Grandma's Boy. If you want us to do weird shit like that on a Patreon, by all means, let us know on any means of social media. It's at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe. Eddie's got a brand new TikTok that we're promoting, so it's the Eddie McCabe on TikTok. Of course, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. Our Facebook page for the show, you're probably watching it now. If you're not, if you're listening on a podcast, it's facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. And, what are we doing next week? We haven't even talked about it.
We haven't talked about it.
Let's fucking do it live.
Yeah. What do you want to do? I want to do something fun.
Yeah, I think fun is definitely what we need to. We need to keep the theme of fun going while we're in this quarantine situation. I mean, shit, man. I got nothing right now.
So have we? We can do. Yeah. You still have HBO, correct?
For a few more days. Yeah.
All right. Did we do John Wick 3 yet?
I mean, I own John Wick 3, so that's fine. And I haven't. So, yeah, we're going to.
Let's do John Wick 3.
There you go. Next
week. We've done two. I know we've done one.
We definitely did one. I think we covered some of two in one, but we haven't officially done two. But let's jump to three, because three was a hoot and a holler. And I think we got to do three. All right. I got that. I'm not going to go over and reach it, but the Blu-ray is right over there. Next week, John Wick 3. Thank you for joining us on that movie show. facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. thatmovieshow.net is the website. Subscribe on any and all podcasting apps: Spotify, Google, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts now, as it's called, whatever. And let us know if you want us to review any movies that you happen to like. The worse, the better, in our opinion. Yeah. And if you're interested in us getting high and reviewing movies really high on Patreon, email Eddie one more time in the email.
TheFilmHistorians@gmail.com.
TheFilmHistorians@gmail.com. All right, Eddie, anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, we'll see you next week with John Wick 3.
That's Hoobie Valley, Hoobie Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
The order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.